Assalamualaikum. It is peace be unto you. Yes, this is AK Shams Dane. I'm very honored to be here with you today. I thank you for taking our time of your busy schedule to join us for a session of Religion Means Live. I also want to thank Imam Alpha Muhammad for allowing me to join him in this session today, where he's going to share some information that we hope that will inspire you to help you to move from where you are to where you want to be. And I want to take a few moments to talk to you a few things about business life, about economic life. When we think about this ideal of religion means alive, I want to reference a verse in Quran where Allah himself says that after he fashioned a human being, he breathed up into him his spirit, and then that human being became a living soul. See, once we are connected to Allah, the source of life, worldly spirits, economic, political, moral, mental, and most of all, spiritual life. And this life allows us to be functional. And that is what happens when man is disconnected from the source of life. He begins to experience economic, political, moral, mental, and spiritual death. I'm reminded of a quote from one of the greatest thinkers of our time, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, who said that we have to look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keeps us unestablished as a people. Let me get that to you one more time. We have to look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keeps us unestablished as a people. And that's one of the challenges, this spirit. We're talking about religion means alive. Here's the spiritual being. If we have the right spirit and get our spirits right, then we'll take our rightful position in creation where God says he placed you in the earth to be the root. If the spirit is right, then we will maintain, we will secure, we will build community life. The law of physics says that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. As I travel throughout this country and I look around amongst African communities particularly, I see high levels of economic death inside of our community life. I learned the word many years ago from New York, New Jersey. I lived in New Jersey. I used to go to New York, and I heard them talking about going over to the bodega. I never knew what a bodega was. I said, what is the bodega? I'm an African-American. I speak English. I don't know what a bodega is. The guy said, a bodega is that store. I said, see where I'm from, we say the corner store. In fact, we're going down there, and Dave, Mr. Joe, Mr. Shabazz going to give me what I want. Shabazz look just like me, sound like me. In fact, Mr. Shabazz, Mr. Dave going to give me some credit. Because Mr. Dave and Mr. Shabazz understand what about bodega. And they start talking about poppy. I say, what? Bodega. And the reason why it's called bodega because see somebody else then came in same space at the same time. See, if we was occupying that space, then that bodega came into your community. See, Malcolm told us that we spend, even though we spend our money in our community, when the sun goes down, that money that business. So the law of physics says no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. But if we then we have to see that there's a need for us to establish strong business life. So we have to look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keeps us unestablished as a community. And verse in the Bible that says, you have not. And what are you asking for? There was a time when we sold, we understood getting a product, selling that product, making money, showing others how to do that. That's almost a lost art. I was watching this morning the show, and they was talking about Coca-Cola. And they said that Coca-Cola sells 1.9 billion bottles or cans of soda every single day. 1.9 million worldwide of Coke. And they understood, he said that, you know, somebody wants some soda, somebody wants this beverage. We manufacture this beverage, we market this beverage, we position ourselves in the marketplace with beverage. And 1.9 billion people from an idea, from a concept that someone held on to, build, marketed, promoted, satisfied a woman. Not a need, but satisfied a woman. And now that product, selling. Many of you sold house fish. Many of you sold the bean product. Many of you sold the fish. You understood the power of asking questions, of connecting a product to someone who had a need or what you had. And the reason why you had more, you were getting more because you were not afraid to ask the right question. The verse says, you have not because you asked not. And when we begin to ask more of what do you need or what do you want, or how we begin to solve our economic problems by spirit, If we give people what they want, the right thing, the decent thing, then money is not good. But when we stop asking questions of how can I help you to solve your problem, how can I help you to get the work, how can I help you with the key, when we stop asking that fundamental question will be stopped. So it said that Coke had a product, this formulation, this chemical formulation that tasted sweet, that was a beverage, but it went from that ideal to 1.9 billion cans of sodas moved every single day to the store. I know you got an ideal. I know you have a product. I know you have something that you've been sitting on that you believe could help to solve a problem, help to fulfill a problem, help to get someone what they need. See, I come to find out a long time ago that we'll make more money if we give people what they want. And the reason why wants are greater motivators, because I don't care what you have, you understand but it's the one thing strive for more. I want more. In fact, I want this type. I only need this type of food, but I want this type of food. So needs are greater motivator. If you lined up, pardon me, not needs, but wants are the greater motivator. If you lined up the question, then you come up. See, man, Muhammad said we have to look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keep us unestablished as a people. We have to ask the right question. He is the strange behavior, unestablished, on the mind of the movie, do the right thing. All about doing the right thing. We talk about religion means alive. We have to do the right thing. When the brother ran into Sal's pizza, he looked all around the walls of Sal's pizza parlor, and Sal had all of the Italian legends on the wall. All his family members, all the great people from Italy, and the brother ran into the restaurant and said, Sal, when you going to put some brothers on the wall? Sal looked at him and said, "This is my restaurant. If you want some brothers on the wall, then you get your restaurant and you put some brothers on the wall." So he asked the question, "Sal, when you going to put some brothers on the wall?" But that was the wrong question. Sal said, "This is mine. And if you want something that reflects, then you have to get yours." He asked the question, but it was the wrong question. If Sal told him, "You got to get your own spot. And when you get your own spot, then you can promote and you can preserve your cultural rights. You can put people up on your wall who reflect your aspirations. But until you do that, you're going to come into my world and you're going to see what I'm about. You're going to experience my culture life. And if you want to have a strong culture life, you have to have this business or this economic life, because that's what's going to feed your community life. If your business life is weak, just like in that movie, Do the Right Thing, the business life was so weak that all the foreigners came in. The Chinese, the Asians, they came in, the Italians, they came in, and they set up shop because they realized here's a race of consumers. We study them, we know what they want, and if we satisfy those wants, we can get paid. Now, we look at the strange behavior. If we look at the dependency, if we look at the self-hate and all this strange behavior that keep us economically weak, if we begin to look at that thoroughly and address that and work to heal from that, then we can establish the economic life that will allow us to now begin to buy those fundamental products that will satisfy those wants that we had. So when we look at the strange behavior and we begin to work on fixing the strange behavior and begin to heal from, we can establish the life that reflects the dignity that that reflects the strength of our spirit. So Sal said, "You got to get your own." And when you get your own, when you're doing for yourself, then you can establish the kind of life that says, "This is your community," as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, your bakery, your restaurant. It reflected ownership. This is mine. See, and Do the Right Thing, they didn't see those stores in their neighborhood being there. And as a result of that, they burned the neighborhood down. Because it wasn't mine anyway. At the end of that movie, that community went up in flames because there was no emotional attachment to what they said. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, ask the question, why do you want other people to do for you that which you can do for yourself? See, the only way you're going to do for yourself when you are alive. And when you're alive, you are functional. When you're alive, you're not dependent. When you're alive, you know that your real life is seen when you are making sure that you are maintaining your own world, the community life, the moral life, the political life, the intellectual life. When we come into that realm of life, we're functional, then we can establish ourselves as a strong group of people who reflect integrity, strength, intellectual life, pride, decency, and we begin to transmit those values we've been given from those who came before us. So what we have to do is look at the strange behavior. All of the death and destruction. And I'm not just talking about the physical death. I'm talking about the death of business life. I live in a city where now, as a barber, I'm a barber by trade. And I've watched many years our Latino brothers, I will cut their hair. Because many of the Latino brothers, they had to go to beautician because there was very few Latin barbers. So they would go to, for the most part, the beauticians to do their hair. So I would cut their hair, fade their hair, and you know, hook them up. Then over time, many Latino barbershops would open up. Open up here, and they change the game. They open up the barbershop. They got 15 chairs in the barbershop. I worked in the barbershop, it was 3 chairs. Packed every day, 3 chairs, few barbers in the city. But over time, as the Puerto Rican or the Latino barbershops start springing up, as I move around, I see more brothers getting their haircuts from Latino brothers. I said, wow. I said, now, here it is. I'm the one, not me per se, but African American is the one that taught the Latino how to do a fade. How to do a flat. You got the corset, you could do your hair in all kinds of styles, flat top, afro, wave, everything. And then over time, the brothers start populating and packing the Latino barbershops. I said, why is it that now you think somebody can do your hair better than you, and you are the originator of those styles? You're the originator of those styles, but some kind of way you lost confidence in the people who've been cutting your hair for 15 and 20 years. Because you have been conditioned to believe that somebody can do it better. And then as a result, many of those barbershops sit there. Not only just because of the shortage of number of people coming there, but now people get braids and people get bald heads, so a lot of people don't go to barbershops. But you'll find that many of these barbershops are populated by African-American men who are allowing others. That's a fun example, but it is an example that shows us as long as we do that, we will continue to experience economic death. Because we're not doing for ourselves. We're trusting other people to do for us that which we can do. I would have to go out to do business with an African at business. Because if you choose to take, man, then it's just like a bucket. A bucket that when you pour the water in, it comes out because there's nothing to hold the liquid that you inside the bucket. So you have to watch your way to make sure that this has the business to sustain. And you make sure that when you do business with an African American, you're not doing business because I want to support you. But you're doing business, hopefully, because that business person is providing you with good service. See, when we get into this idea of not just doing business because I want to support you, I don't want you to do business with me because you just, I want you to do business. You are certain to provide you quality service and provided you a quality product. And that quality product makes you say, this is our piece. And then you will remind me that we got to improve. We got to get a little better. That's why you go to certain places, they have a suggestion box. Because they're saying, I want to serve you better. In that suggestion box, you put your complaints. I want to serve you better. But if you never tell me where I'm lacking, I can never do that. So when we look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keeps us unestablished as a people. If we begin to look like that and question the strange behavior, then we can rectify, we can improve that behavior. And then when we begin to improve that behavior, we can really, really establish economic life. So in that movement, Spike Lee said, do the right thing. And that's what we have to do. We have to do the right thing. When our students, our little young brothers, doing the right thing to bring that training in some way back to your community. So you can be in stop that economic life. And you just over time is not being used to build up some wealth. That's why I have a concept called the Black Brain Plan. And the Black Brain Plan has two things to do with our resources, flowing from poverty to a whole other level. And it leads us to fix it. It leads. Was lived before. So we don't work on brains, right? A drain is needed. The life born outside that body for hours. And as long as another community to another organization is going to leave our community weak and vulnerable. And right now, we can reflect what it means to be alive economically. My good friend, Helene Gaduce, wrote a book. It's called Economic Resurrection, How to Prosper in Good and Bad Times. Economic resurrection, how we have to come alive, to come back alive economically. And when we come back alive economically, we can do big things. See, we have to believe we can do big things. But we have to become prosperous first in our thinking. Now, as most of my head, there's a call, and that call is called a day, and part of that call it says, come to cultivation. Why would God himself call you to come to cultivation if he has not put something special and unique in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? There's potential form all throughout your body, but you got to work to cultivate and bring that potential forth so it can make its contribution to the world. Hiya, come alive. To cultivating the life, the ideals, the potential God put deep within your body. And the cultivation is just like the farmer that cultivates the soil. He digs deep in the soil and prepares the soil so it can be ready to receive the life of that seed that needs the right kind of environment before it can germinate and then make its contribution to the world. When God created you, he gave you purpose. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that you have purpose and a reason for being in existence. And you are just like a part of a human body. That's what our community is like. It's like a body. And that's why you have organization. The organization is these different units, these different organs that has their specific role and function inside the body called organization or called community life. And every organ has a life of its own. And every organ has an assignment that it must fulfill. The kidney has an assignment quite unique from the liver. The liver has an assignment quite unique from the heart. The heart has an assignment quite unique from the spleen. In your body, there are all these organs, just like in our community, there's all these organs. We have the plumber, we have the doctor, we have the lawyer, we have the teacher, we have the scientist, we have the business person, we have the politician. We have all these different functions that will allow the community to come alive and make its contribution to society itself. So you have an assignment. He created you. He gave you purpose. He gave you an assignment. He gave you a role to play in the world. It's just like that seed that comes from that soil. It has to struggle, has to put the work in, it has to break through obstacles, it has to go through the storm. You got an economic storm. It has to push. That's what struggle is all about. It's about breaking through resistance because there's a lot of blockage. See, there's a lot of blocks we got to push through because there's drive, just like inside that seed. This power. But the only way that seed can realize its power, it must be in the right environment with the right elements that will activate the life that's inside that seed. You've seen you walk down the street on asphalt, concrete, and you've seen a blade of grass coming through concrete. It finds its way through the dirt to come through concrete, because inside that seed is powerful life, is powerful potential, if it has the elements that will activate the life that's inside of it. And when it bursts through the soil, the rose give off a fragrance that's quite different from the tulip. And all these different flowers have a different aroma that allows it to make its contribution to life. And you put the fragrance on, you put the flower in your home, you come in, you smell the scent of the flower because it have a special contribution to make to life, just like you. You have a special and unique contribution to make to the world. So we look at the strange behavior of our group spirit that keeps us unestablished. People, when we begin to look at this strange behavior and ask the right questions, then we can prosper. Then we can grow. We can evolve and we can make our contribution to life. And we can come alive intellectually. We can come alive economically. We can support the charities, we can support the students, we can support the opportunities, we can support. That's what business life does. And the stronger we become in business, the stronger our community will become. The weaker we become in business, the weaker our community becomes. Because the question is, where do jobs really come from? Jobs come businesses being established. The more business you have, the more jobs will flow. And when there's a lack of business life, there's a lack of jobs, then there's more crime, then there's more poverty, then there's more fear, then there's a low self-esteem. That's why poverty is dangerous. In fact, in the Quran, Allah says that shaitan threatens you with poverty. Think about where poverty is leading to. Think about what poverty does, how poverty leads to criminal behavior, how poverty leads to high levels of incarceration, that poverty leads to mental and physical bad health because of stress. So we begin to create more jobs. They don't have to be big businesses. When we begin to create more businesses, those businesses then can produce more jobs. And the more jobs we create, the more healthier the environment becomes. The more healthier the community becomes. The least amount of jobs we have, the more problems we have in our community. So when we become alive economically, we'll be able to support the masjid. When we come alive more economically, we'll begin to support the organizations and the culture centers in our community. When we become more alive economically, we can then begin to mentor more young brothers and mentor more young sisters to go into business, to go up to college, and to get their minds ready to come back and do more, to to come back and allow them to feel obligated to rebuild their community, to make their contribution, to think about those who left a legacy, and that they feel obligated to take what they're doing to another level because they've given them something to stand on. Those who came before give us something to stand on. In fact, when you look at the word legacy, you'll find the word leg, L-E-G. It gives you something to stand up on. Those who made the sacrifice, those who really put in the work, they've given us some principles to stand on. So we season these young people. We have the money to make you want to go to college. You got it. We got scholarships set up so you can go off and come back and rebuild your community. And we will see you again. I've seen young people go off to college and never seen them again. Because they've seen no connection with their community. So the stronger we become economically, the more we're going to be able to build up stronger community life. Business life is strongly connected to community life. And when we have strong business life, we will have strong community life. So we have to get back to looking at this strange behavior so we can minimize crime. We can reduce black-on-black violence. We can be the messengers delivering the message of hope, the message of love, the message of life, the message of peace, the message of decency and respect. We have to see ourselves as messengers who are delivering a message of life because religion really means alive. And if it means alive, we're delivering the message of life, as simple as it sounds. So I want to thank you. I really want to thank you for being with us today. Again, I want to thank you, Madam Alfred Muhammad, for allowing us to be a part of this segment of Religion Means Alive, where he's been doing this consistently for 3 years. For 3 years, he's been working consistently to share the message that will bring hope, that will inspire us, to move us from where we don't want to be to where we need to be, to where we want to be. So he's delivering the message, and I bring before you now my good friend, brother, Imam Alfred Muhammad. Thank you.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm honored and privileged to have the great Imam Kabir Shamsuddin to address us today, and you will be hearing more from him. We want to bring to our audience a better mind, a better spirit, the better motivators, the better activators, so we can have a life and continue to have a life that Jesus the Christ prophesied and prayed for, a life and life more abundantly. We need a light, an abundant light. And we're going to stay right with the spirit of what Brother Imam talked about, because we're still continuing the topic, breaking the willingness syndrome. But we focus each week on the theme. As you all should know by now, the first week is education, but the first thing a child comes into the world, that child opens his eyes and it consumes the world mentally. Then the child cries. That child needs food. So the physical need is there, has to be. So the child asks for physical needs. So we start the progression of life. And I want to hear correct some of us right now, because, you know, this is a big problem for us in the strange behavior One scholar wrote a book on African-American slavery. He called it the peculiar institution. And we are a peculiar people, unlike any people on the face of the planet Earth. You can't be a leader of us. You can't even be a squad leader, a team leader. You can't even be a deacon in the church. And we're addressing all our people. This program is for our people. This is not a program to address Muslims. That every time, whether I'm doing a Juma, whether I'm doing a public address, whether I'm doing a Ramadan session, I'm addressing the ass. Imam Muhammad said when he was addressing the people at our meetings, he was addressing the whole people. You don't know who is a Muslim or who is not. You don't know who is who today. People come in. So we should address the whole person. But I want to clear up something particularly for the Muslims, And that is, we are not spiritual beings. We are a spirit living in a physical body. We need to understand that. And the destiny of the human community is community life. Understand that. That baby is a soul, but that soul has to have a body to house it. The Imam said there's nothing in the Quran that is talking about physical death. Not talking about that kind of death. God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. So let's understand something that I just had to check with someone yesterday, and I correct to my dear friend, Brother Deep Shaka. It is right when we do our janazah, we do tasleem on the right. We tasleem on the right because the janazah is for those who are conscious. It's not for the dead. Even though one of the du'as is for the dead. It's really for us. There's nothing we can do for the dead at this point. We can pray for them. But it is a conscious reminder to us in our religion, the right represents the conscious. I was thinking it would have been the left because death is on the left of the unconscious. So let's understand that we don't want a spooky religion. And Imam Muhammad didn't come to give us a spooky religion. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And as he said, May of 1975, religion means alive. Religion means alive. We're going to be alive physically, mentally, spiritually, alive in our educational life, alive in our business life, alive in our cultural life, alive in our governmental life. And we have to be thinking constantly of the future. And the strange behavior of African Americans is this. We are waiting for somebody else to do for us that which we can do for ourselves. And it's our strange behavior because we don't even understand the nature of America, the greatest country in the history of humanity. Imam, they just killed an African American on the street. Policemen did. How can you say America is the greatest country in the world? Because America gives you the greatest opportunity, especially post 1965. So much so that 1974, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, stop blaming the white man. We can have heaven on earth right here in America. Now, that also means that the other person can have freedom to knock us down. So it's competition. So this should make us more competitive. It's competitive. Understand when they talk about the race question, they're not talking about the physical race. Scientifically, there's no such thing as a Negro race, Negroid. There's no such thing as a Mongoloid. There's no such a thing as a Caucasoid. This is scientific mythology. There's one race, human beings. But what are they saying when they say it's a race? You've heard of a political race. You've heard of a relay race. That's what we're engaging in now, is a relay race. Our race has started when we came to America, when we brought off of Goli Island, put on those ships, we started a relay race to freedom, justice, and equality. But the strange behavior of our people is that we have been conditioned to believe that somebody else, somewhere else, to do for us that which we should do for ourselves. We want the Caucasian, we want the Indian, we want the Chinese. We want somebody else to do for us that which we can do for ourselves. Now, how do we get there? This is the question. This is what Religion Means Alive is about. It is about transmitting the message of Imam W.D. Muhammad to the 41 million African-American so-called Negroes, as Mr. Farrar calls them, the 17 million rusty locks. I don't know what he would call these locks now with us. Most of us have become rusty again. How do we know that? Because we should be hearing nothing but excitement in the spirit of our people. Pushing, come to the Ramadan session and be taught by followers and students of Imam Debedin Muhammad. We should hear excitement and spirit-filled, jacked-up minds. Fired-up minds. We're already putting our money in the bank account and saving money to come to the Muslim convention in Tinley Park, Illinois. Now, you should be putting your money away, saving for hotel reservations. And you on the East Coast should be super excited, even though it's welcome to everybody else. We should have a huge meeting. And I'm hoping that Brother Deep Shaka is here and that he can play that tape again where the Imam Muhammad said we need to have big meetings. I'm looking for a core group that will see this big. Big meetings. Not small meetings. Big meetings, huge meetings. Meetings that will fill up stadiums so we can fire our people's spirit up, fire our minds up. And so the 24th, the 25th, and 26th of July, we're going to have a New Africa Family Day weekend, Newark, New Jersey, where there will be a Newark right there in Weekway Park, Juma. Workshops, Saturday, Peace March. See, dear people, if you are serious, you have to demonstrate to yourself and others that you're serious. We need to show others that we are very serious. But most of all, we need to show ourselves that we're serious. And the only way we can show ourselves that we are serious is to come together in big, huge numbers. And there are people on the side observing us. and they're just waiting to join us. This week, our focus is on business. But I want you to get your notebooks out. And I want you to write some things down I'm going to tell you. Because we are here to engage in psycho-spiritual therapeutic techniques to break the bonds of slavery. And as I said, and I've been saying for the last 3 years, this program is dedicated to the African Americans from Rio de Janeiro in the South to Halifax, Nova Scotia, with particular references to the most damaged of people, the African Americans people. But I'm telling you something. I was at an international gathering of interfaith people, and God blessed me. I was with my leader and teacher, Imam Wahidin Muhammad, and he gave me permission to speak, and I let him know, brother is dead. Bilal is alive. Bubba is just somebody bubbling at the mouth. Somebody they have made a joke of. But Bilal is the one that's going to call people back to civilization. And I'm feeling a strong inspiration right now to break down to you and explain to you. Some of you have heard before. Some of you have heard us say, Evan has several parts, and everything in it is telling us to build civilization. We start with the right, the conscience, and the caller calls us four times to God. God is greater. He says, Allahu Akbar. God is greater. Now, don't we have an obligation to explain that to the American people? Don't we have an obligation to explain that to us? How many of us go to the messiah? That means the plural of the messenger, of the mosque, and still have a spooky, mystical understanding of their land? Most of us. Because if we did have a real understanding, we would insist that we come together and develop a business life for us. We would insist when we come together, we wouldn't talk a bunch of foolishness. We would be talking about how we can get together to develop business life. So that Dan call us Allahu Akbar for education. Allahu Akbar for business. Allahu Akbar for culture. Allahu Akbar for the social life of government. For rivers went out from the garden and became great heads. They are education, business, culture, government. Everything in our religion, is explicit to establish life on earth. Everything in our religion is explicitly to establish community life, the kind of life that God wants for the human being. And the fifth pillar brings it all together and gives us a focus of one humanity. Then God calls our attention in the Adhan to that we are to witness consciously that there is no God but the God who created all, the Lord who's over all systems of knowledge. In other words, understand this, let's apply this to the business world. There was once a huge computer, biggest this house or bigger.
Now they got little microcomputers. So God was evolving man to show him how to do it. You think that didn't happen? You think that just happened by happenstance? God did that. He is the Rabbi Elohim. And with the conscious struggle of man, witnessing that he is God, and whether they witness it or not, he is God. And then we assert again that assert that God, there's no God but God for the unconscious. For the conscious, for the unconscious. And the second assertion, third assertion, is there's no God but God, and Muhammad is his messenger. What is that really speaking to? Man that never can be God. And these concepts are borne out in the Bible, whether implicitly. The Quran addresses these problems explicitly. And therefore, we have to be aware of that there are a lot of Muslims who think they're really understanding the Quran properly, but are really just applying Christianity. And I'm finding as I talk to us, I find that many of us, are laboring on a lot of misconceptions. And how do I know that? Because we don't see the establishing of community life. The business life we have is nickel and dime. Nickel and dime. Because our business people are not motivated properly. I just have to share this with you. It came to me to share with you. I was with one of our big leaders in the Nation of Islam days, and we were called the first resurrection, excuse me. And he did not want to talk about the great work he had done on the Abdullah Muhammad. And I'm trying to figure this out. Why wouldn't this man, who had witnessed big, major achievements, been a part of it, huge events. I don't want to give him away, so I ain't going to tell you about the things he participated in. But he participated in multi-million dollar ventures. Tens and 25,000 person events. Managed lots of our business activity. But he didn't want to talk about it. Because he was too ashamed that after that, he hadn't done very little of production. And the reason he hadn't done very much production, because he wanted to be for himself. So you business people should be motivated to get rich for God's sake, to establish your community. Not that God, the creator of heaven and earth, need anything from you, but your service to him by serving humanity, starting with your own community, is what should motivate you. That's what motivates Bill Gates. I don't care what you say. You can put him down all you want. That's what motivates Warren Buffett. You can put him down. You can be envious and jealous of them. And there are a lot of us like that. They're waiting to leave our wealth. This is another thing we have to get out. We have to get out of this hatred and jealousy of rich people. Continuing along this line, Muhammad was a businessman, a successful businessman, a man that engaged in trade, and then we assert what? That he is the messenger of God. The messenger of God. So the highest station for man is to bear the message of God, the perfected message. Each and every one of us should connotate every day the message of God that was given to Muhammad. It should be conveyed in our household. It should be conveyed in our family. It should be conveyed in our neighborhood. It should be conveyed in our nation. It should be conveyed in the world. The message of God through Muhammad the prophet. And that's what Imam Muhammad was doing. That's what he is doing. His living body of work, insight into the model human being, working with the people who've been most afflicted, the people who've been most damaged. Write down on your notebook, I accept that I've been damaged, and I seek the repair of God. And then our prophet said to us, and his advice, don't be angry. That was that bad. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. Three times. Why? Anger is an emotion that destroys people. And under emotion of anger is fear, despair, disillusionment, impotency, inadequacies, and that's what we project, and that's what causes us to be angry. The spirit, the emotion in the mind becomes poison. I have been damaged, and I accept to repair myself. That's why I support 1,000% Brother Deep Shacker's effort to bring about healing. Yes, that's what Imam Muhammad called for when he first came in office, studying the effects of slavery. Let us examine our lives daily and figure out why we're being blocked psychologically. I'm looking for a tape I have of Imam Muhammad that I want to play on the broadcast, where he talked about where our focus should be. Our focus in this program is continuing that line of focus to address the psyche of African-American people, to recognize the damage, to battle the envy and jealousy, peculiar behavior, the superstition, the mystical tendency. The reason people engage in mysticism for the most part is because it's very difficult to deal with the painful realities. Our lives are painful. And God tells us what? To show the man will be in loss, except those who join in the mutual teaching of truth. Join together. You can't do anything as an individual. Muhammad was a leader of a community. So be consciously aware of that and be unconsciously aware of that. Ashadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He is the messenger of God. African Americans need the message of God. We can't go just on our own. We need God's message, and God has given us insight. Profound insight, greater light than any people have ever received. And you say, why should God do that? Because God wouldn't be God if he didn't do that, when we have been under the deepest darkness of any people on earth. And I'm not speaking as someone guessing at it. I know the history of man. And I can tell you that we've been under gross darkness. So the religion of Al-Islam, and I'm not inviting you to become a Muslim. I'm sharing with you from the religion how it enlightens you. And that's what another thing. We should expose our people to our religion. God says in the Quran, invite all to the way of God. Huh? You come to one of our meetings, you get a better understanding, becomes a better person, becomes more productive. I've been with Imam Muhammad at Juma, inviting people. We had guests coming. He invited them to, if they would like to pray with us, pray. If they want to stand on the side, stand on the side. But he invited them to join us. Why? Because he was continuing what our prophet said. Our prophet, and this is in the, that he invited people just to try Islam. And I was at a meeting recently, in New York City with an African American who knew more about formal Islam, history about Islam, than I met among our most learned. So don't think people aren't watching us. Don't think that. That's why we have to have big meetings. That's why it's witnessing. Our lives should be witnessed. So when people see you, they should see Muhammad in you, not on you. Because the same dress that Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab dressed, probably hit the same dress. So it's not talking about on you, it's in you. The model for all human beings, period. Rousseau, the great thinkers of the West, they were influenced by Muhammad. Dear beloved people, the Adhan is a call for development. Then God calls us through the Adhan to higher, come alive to the Salat. Once, consciously. Why is it telling you to come alive? What is the Salat? Not prayer. The Salat is the word of God. And what is the word of God to you? A message to you, instructions and a manual. How to develop community life. I want to repeat, everything in our religion is showing you how to develop community life. From the Shahada cane, the witnessing. Why is the witnessing that God is God? That also established the Prophet. Secondly, the witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God is to get man not all drunk. So he's now discovered nuclear physics. Now he thinks he's God. So that is added to let him know consciously and unconsciously he's not God. But the great thinkers. In fact, the Quran is addressing mostly the thinkers and the business people. That's why you should get excited and get fired up and invite your friends to buy the tapes of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yes, buy them up. That's the life. Stop just talking to Muslims. How many of you have invited your friends, your family, to hurt? Let's not build this up as a cult. Let's take this to our people. Perchance, the businessman can get this message and can create 50,000 jobs. Perchance, somebody will get it and decide to run and be the biggest distributor of products. Don't let fear drive you. Don't let elitism drive you. Higher, as-salat, the word of God, its instruction, its explicit instruction. To seek when whatever means God has made available to you, the promised life, but don't forget your share of the material world. That is your religious instruction. The Quran is come alive to that. The El-Fatiha, the opening, freezes out the closing where the knowledge was sealed in the Bible. Come alive to that. Consciously, come alive to that unconsciously. Hayat al-Talal. Consciously, cultivate, build, wa amanu wa amanu salihah. Build, think, act, get together with others, and build business life. Realize that you don't have to be in a love affair. In fact, Islam really doesn't even call for romanticism, even in marriage. Marriage should be a business proposition. You may be madly in love with a woman. She does not manage your house, or what in the hell would you want with her? And while we at that, let me tell you something. Do you know that the slave masters and the slave traders, when they went to Africa, they let those people stay on Gory Island for 3 or 4 days, and they picked the best, and sometimes they would send some back. They didn't need them. That's why they brought an aggressive businesswoman, people that was running markets in Ghana, women that were running markets in Bamako. That's in Mali. You can't teach this religion, really, unless you understand Quran. You also have to understand the history of man, with particular reference to the history of the African people. So I want you to know I'm not talking here from ignorance. I'm not talking from guesswork. So this is telling us that we are to cultivate the Word of God, that the Word of God is to cultivate. God is telling us something else in the Quran. He's telling us that when you have finished your assembly, go back to your business life, back to your life. The Imam said this is also speaking to tell you to be diversified. If a brother's selling fish sandwiches, you don't sell fish sandwiches. You sell chicken. Another brother sells turkey. And everybody on the block is making money. Huh? That's what we have to get. That's what I'm not going to be satisfied until we organize a business life for our people. All my life, I've been mostly interested in religion. And I was wondering why God kept pushing me into business. Kept pushing me to business. Not something I wanted. My love was medicine. Well, religion, firstly, try to run away from it. Secondly, the world of the academy. And I found myself going right back to business. And then I thought, when I was telling Imam Muhammad, I said, I looked at your work, at your father's work, and said, I'm going to help your father. Now I'm like Muhammad, then I would have to know business. So I start reading and studying business. You can't have ignorant imams who don't know anything about business life, don't know how to motivate business life, motivate business people. Huh? We should look in the telephone book and see everything that's in that book we need. Locksmith. You know, as Brother Imam Shamsuddin has pointed out, we're actually losing. We're even losing the barber business. The hair care business we're losing. Because we're not being pushed forceful way from our khutbah, khutub is called plural, to go forth powerfully and strongly into business. Huh? Some of you go over to Turkey and you get all excited because after that meet, after that gym, they have classes in business. We're going to do that when we get set up. We're going to start teaching every week. And the reason I have decided to come out and establish what a community looks like, because I've given everybody else 30-some-odd years, about 40 years, and they have done nothing. I've seen only one model. And that's the model of Imam Wahab al-Din Muhammad II is doing with the mosque here. So we got to have a model group that we're going to push business. We're going to push workshops. We're going to push how to write a business plan right after Juma. Sunday meeting, business, how to be a successful businessman. Pushing it. How to make your business look more tasteful. How to beat out the envy and jealousy. Hire al-Salat. Hire al-Falal. It ain't enough to have the Salat and then you don't establish it. Well, Aminu wa Aminu Salihat. Aminu means to believe, to trust, to accept the trust. They trust security. Then you have to do what? Then you have to build an amulet of solid hat, Huh? Our religion is obviously and clearly not a spooky, spiritualistic religion. It is a religion of establishment. Why did God send you a businessman to be your leader? He wants you to be in business. He wants you to establish your life. You African-American Muslims should be by leaps and bounds the most successful business people on earth. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad only had a tincture of Al-Islam. And he was excited and pumped up. I want you to go and listen to the broadcast yesterday from Secretary G. Bilal and just hear how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad studied animal husbandry. He was into banking and farming. Man with a third grade education. But he had a 360-degree belief in himself. And I said he had a tincture of the Quran. And he did wonders because he would not tolerate envy. He wouldn't tolerate jealousy. He wouldn't tolerate us backbiting and slack-talking each other and destroying each other. And we're going to have to get back to that. Those are the basic principles for civilization. That I'm not here to talk and play games with you and to pretend that everything is all right is not all right. We don't have establishment. We must have establishment. First thing we need to do is repent and ask God to forgive us because we have played with this message. Understand that. Every time we gather together, we should have somebody getting rich. Somebody should get some money in our pockets. That's right. And I'm telling you, we're not a poor community. We got a lot of poor people. We have a lot of people in this community that have money, making money, and they didn't start making money until Imam Muhammad started teaching Al-Islam. They went back to school. You'd be surprised. The number of us earning $150,000, $200,000, a lot of us. And they're looking for somewhere to plug in at. And I'm going to give them somewhere to plug in at. An association that's here to take the message of Al-Islam to the public. Not to force people to be Muslims, but to enforce their humanity. So our religion obligates us. Hayya al-Salat, Hayya al-Falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is greater than darkness. He's greater than light. And it closes out. After you built your great civilization, remember, La ilaha illallah, you are not God. And that's the big problem with some of us when we get a little bit of money. We think we're God. We want the Lord over the people. We want to hand money out to people. We're not willing to develop. You see a child that has a proclivity to business, for business, Rama, encourage and support him. In fact, we should invite the better minds of our people to come and hear this message, perchance. Billionaires would be created, and we can get out of the hole that we are in as a people, and we are in a hole. We are the laughing stock of the world. $2.2 trillion. And we can't say that there's one institution that we are responsible for. That's going to change. That little man from Georgia, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is a sign. Imam Muhammad had to spend his time teaching us. He never gave up on his program, but he had a set of bad leaders who didn't support him. And I'm not quoting, I'm not coming from myself. That's what he said, and he told the Chicago Tribune that. So the leaders didn't have the proper Quranic education. And you say, well, I know so-and-so, and he read the Quran. No, he didn't. He looked at the Quran. If he read the Quran, he would have been following Imam Muhammad, and he would have gotten busy and established business life, established education life, established cultural centers for our people, established social association for our people. You notice I repeated the four rivers. Educational institutions, schools. You got to go and go to Lincoln Tech. You got to go to one of these for-profit schools, University of Phoenix, Augusta University. Now, compete with them. Every industry that you're in, you should be looking to get into that industry and establish yourself. Give you love people. Our religion requires us, as we establish business life, to see business the way our religion requires it. And it says the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. What is the benefactor? We can never be the benefactor. God is the benefactor. But we should have that quality in us. Well, we should have a philanthropic spirit. We should want business life so we can help make the creation a better place. Better for animals. Better certainly for the human being. Better for the African-American people. Be a benefactor. God is the benefactor. He's given you a mind. He's given you a spirit. He's given you the creation. And redeeming only means to get that which is lost. Since man has been made naturally good, since man has naturally been made naturally created, since man has been made naturally peaceful, when man gets lost, then you should be able to help to restore peace, to redeem, to be there, to reform, to reformulate. You have to go and look for people in prison. Now, when they come out, they prove themselves as a place for them. But go to the young people that got business life. You see them falling off the shaky path. Redeem them with the word of God, not with your own ego, not with your own condemnation, not with your own anger, not with your own pain, not with your anger at your father who disappeared, not with the anger at your mother who disappointed you, with the redemptive spirit that God has been so merciful to me, I'm going to extend his mercy to others. A sacred scripture says, love ye one another, for I have loved you. God speaking to us through Jesus, the Christ. Love ye one another. Muhammad told us the same thing. Peace and blessings be upon him. In fact, he told us that none of you will actually enter paradise until you have faith, and none of you will really have faith until you love one another. Compassion, consideration, understand that part of the peculiar behavior is to teach us to hate, to be derisive, to engage in put down and cynicism of each other. That's what has happened. So let's get busy and build community life, business life for ourselves. And let us be business people that pay our employers on time, that treat our employers like we want to be treated, not like some of the places in the Muslim country where they beat people down, take advantage of them, rape the women, have sex with them, treat them as slaves. I don't want to name these countries, but I know these countries that treat people like serfs. Let's cite some companies in America that's doing the right thing. Since we aren't doing the right thing, companies like Costco's, companies like Starbucks, paying our people decent, giving them education. That's the kind of business life we must have. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life to see to it that the concept of the CPC is revived. I was talking to Brother Akbar Salam. I hope to have him on the program. He said one of the worst things we did was lose our customers. We got to go back to door to door. You remember, dear brothers, if you had 100 customers, first thing you should introduce them to is the teachers of Imam Waqti Muhammad. The Muslim Journal, you should introduce them to that because Imam Muhammad is in there. And our intellectual properties, which are not the properties of anybody, the properties that Imam Muhammad gave to his son. Bring those tapes, CDs, and DVDs to the public. Then go to that board. Then we can introduce them to the product we have. We have water. We have honey. We have sausages. We have all kinds of products. Don't you have 100 customers that was buying $200 worth of product from you a week? Do you know that's $1 million a year? Suppose you just hit 100 customers buying $50 from you. We're going to get that back. We're going to beat Amway. We're going to beat Amazon. We're going to beat these companies. Let's get into competition and compete for our share of the material world. But let's do it with what God first tells us, to seek with what means he's made available to you, the promised life, the ideal life. But don't forget your share of the material world, or as God inspired the Bible to tell us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these what? Things, money. Good on friendship in all walks of life, luxury, peace of mind, contentment while you live. This is religion. Religion means alive. First, come alive in your soul. Secondly, write yourself notes. Contracts with yourself. Contract with others that you work with. Reduce it to writing and commitment. We're going to revive the Pledges Club. Yes, I'm now getting ready to work with a congregation on a regular basis. Those who want to commit themselves to development themselves. And we're going to present for you a 90-day, 1-year, and 5-year plan. We're going to make sure that we develop business life. See, Imam Muhammad had a movement that came out under him called the AMCOP movement. That was a movement that started. They ain't wait on the masjid. We're not going to wait on the masjid. We can't wait. We don't have time to wait. We're ready to build people, to build new human beings that will have in their lives a spirit for the commitment to God. And they will have the spirit to establish God's rule in the material world. Establish factories, establish farmland, establish businesses, establish physical communities, to have establishment. That's what God wants for us. We're going to go to the phone lines. We went over what we intended to teach today, but I see we have a believer, I think, from the city of Philadelphia. No longer see her. So any of you all would like to make comments, you can comment. Just press 1 on the phone. If you want to ask questions, dial 805-727-7013. Like to hear from you. I'd like to even hear from Brother Deep Shaka, because we're making a big push for this New Africa Family Day, 3 days to reshape the world. So, Brother Deep Shaka, if you have something to say about that, I know you're welcome. Welcome you back to the city. Tell us about the New Africa Family Day.
New Africa Family Day, Brother Deep. Let me tell you, New Africa Family Day will be held July 24th, 25th, and 26th at Weekway Park. And you can call Brother Deep Shackle and volunteer to help. Donate 973-420-4172. And I think booth space is $100. I'm sure the booth is, you should call it. It's going to be a big weekend. Plan to have invited guests, including Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad and others, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. 3 days to reshape the world. Brother Deep, are you there with us?
Yes, sir. That's from Lincoln.
Well, they could match at the Rams.
Yes, sir, brother, ma'am. Yes, yeah, we are looking forward to this this year's Family Day weekend. We're not going to just have a Family Day this year. We are looking forward to having a Family Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday events. We are looking to bring in many vendors with many different products to the park. First and foremost, we're looking to bring in thousands of people to the park, you know, tens of thousands, hopefully, to the park, you know what I'm saying, to participate in this event. And we are also looking to bring in the African-American farmers to bring their product in from the South to be there for the people. So we'd be working with that as well. And we hopefully get vendors to come and sign, you know, register early so they can save on the cost of vending. And we try and make it easy for the vendors. We want the vendors to be able to make money. We don't want to charge them such high costs when they're not able to make money at the event. You know, this event is to... Our effort is always to work to establish businesses in our community, and hopefully we can get the vendors to come out and display their product and one day open up a store, you know, in the community with selling, you know, their products. So these are the kind of thing that we're looking to do, and we are looking to join together and bond with each other. Family, bonding with families, you know, friends bonding with friends and meeting new friends, you know, and hopefully this will help us as a people. You know, we need help as a people so that we can be more productive as a group, not as individual, but as a group. You know, we need a new spirit for the group. And that's what we're working on. We're working on the group spirit, you know, to bring alive our community and to save our young people from the killing in the streets and stuff of that nature. We are going to have our peace walk, peace march in Newark on that weekend, where we are going to address the issues of the violence and the crime in the street. And we are coming with solution. We are going to bring about solution to eliminate, eradicate this kind of behavior of our people in the streets. You know, so we are not just coming complaining. We are going to come with solution to bring about a new way of thinking in our community. So the Family Day this year is very important for us. You know, we're looking to do big thing, and hopefully in the future years, we'll be doing even bigger things. So come on out, join us. You know, you can get in touch with me at Deep Shacker at 973-420-4172. You can call Akbar Salam at 973-624-4847. And you can call Imam Alfred with his number. He'll give you his number. I don't know it by heart. I get it out of my phone when I'm ready to call. So you can reach out to him. He'll give you his number. And we'll be out there for 3 days and working to establish yourself. So you can be a part yourself. You can be looking for people with ideas, people that wants to do workshops. You know, if you got something going on in the community that can help benefit the community and you like to do a workshop on it, let us know. And you'll be able to do a workshop on Saturday. You know. That's about it, Imam Alfred.
Yes, sir. I was also in you getting ready to do the Father's Day weekend thing. I mean, going to be a father's men's breakfast.
Yeah, the breakfast. Yes, I forgot about that. Yes, that's a fundraiser that we put on. We do a Father's Day. Well, it'll be a pre-Father's Day. It won't be on Father's Day because Father's Day this year will fall in the month of Ramadan. We'll be fasting, so it'll be like a week before, which will be the 14th of June. We'll be doing a brunch, you know, The location I got to be working on the place right now to get the location for this. Hopefully next week we'll have a location for you for this brunch. But we'll be doing a brunch on the 14th of June, which is a Sunday. It'll be from 11 until 2 o'clock. So keep listening to Religion Means Alive, Imam Alfred, in this broadcast, and you'll be getting information on that in the future, in the near future. Yes, sir, Imam Alfred.
Thank you, and my number is 908-463-4843. We'll be keeping you posted on the announcements as to where and when we'll be having meetings, and next week, God willing, that's inshallah, we'll be having a conference call to plan for this. There's a lot of work involved, so we need your help and assistance. If there's nobody else on the line that they have comments, I pretty much finished my comment for the day. I was wondering if our brother and friend is still with us. Shamsuddin, if you'll close us out. Ready, Imam Shamsuddin, you still with us?
Hold on a second. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sir, well, you can close us off. We thank you for that phenomenal warm-up. I tell you something, if it was set up in the street and you set me up that way, well, I tell you, I'd be in good shape. We can go to the bank. You definitely set me up, put me in a position. Even if I didn't feel like teaching today, I had to teach. So I feel pumped up. I'm ready to see a great go forth with business. And you'll be hearing more of Imam Shamsuddin, and hopefully he will host an hour program with us. We're going to invite him to be on the program. We want to pump this program up. In fact, if you have any ideas for the program, please, don't sit back and criticize like a lot of us. Get busy. Get in the fight. I'm incurring this program out of my pockets because God obligated me to do it. I felt something in my soul. We want a right situation where we can get an association of people together, like-minded people, build community life, not to talk. But the bill. I'm going to close it out and give you back to Brother Imam Shamsuddin as he brought us on. Thank you, Brother Imam.
Close out with a second.
Oh, whatever you want to close out. You want to make comments, close out. Whatever you like to do. Whatever your choice.
With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, Mr. Deem, just want to thank everybody for being on the call this segment. Really enjoy the spirit. Enjoy the spirit that you brought in, my mouth, for that information you shared, and also hearing about the new Family Day for the 3-day conference that will take place in Weekly Park. We look forward to being a part of that. We thank all of you for joining us. And with God's name, we say peace. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.